Good morning. Aw, you sound like you're half asleep. Good morning. Much better. All right, right after church, we're going to stay in our seats and we're going to have a 5-minute meeting that's required by the bishop and the DS and all that for us to approve the new pastor's salary package, okay? So what I'll call that meeting quickly to order, and there'll be a housing resolution and an accountable reimbursements resolution, and I'll give you a copy of it. You can look at it, and we'll say, do you approve or not? You know, raise your hand. That one will be done. The next one is the pastor's salary package. Basically, we don't have any say over that. It comes to us from the bishop's office that this is how much your new pastor will be paid. And so those numbers are all filled in on the form. And I have to ask you as a church, do you approve of that? Everybody says yes. Somebody may say no. That'll get passed and then it's over. Does that sound pretty good? If I promise you we're going to get out of here in 5 minutes after. Okay, the other thing that we'll do is we'll pass around a clipboard, and we need everybody who's here to please sign the clipboard, because attached to those meeting minutes needs to be a list of who was here and participated in the voting. Who votes? If you're a member of this congregation, you vote. Now, I'm not going to look out there and say, oh, you shouldn't vote, or you should. You know, just raise your hand. Let's get it over with, all right? Okay. You can tell I like meetings. All right, let's turn it over to Skip and let's be happy because it's family reunion day. We get together around all of us and commune around God's table together. So that is a huge, neat thing for today. Let's worship God together.
Good morning. I want you to know I can only see half of you because I've only had the right eye done. And I go a week from this Monday to get the left eye. So I can see out of one eye and I'm blind in the other. So, and a couple of guys here can vouch for that. We played in a little tournament yesterday down in Alamogordo, and a couple of members here, and I won't say who they are, were on my team. But I knew there was something wrong because the guy came and asked each one, and said, what's your handicap? And they whispered. And then the other guy came up to the other and said, what's your handicap? And they whispered. Finally, I went to the guy, I knew him. I said, what's their handicap? I think I know. And they said, Skip. So anyway, I appreciate y'all whispering that, not saying that out loud, that I was your handicap. Anyway, welcome to Cloudcroft United Methodist Church, to all the visitors out there. I met a young lady this morning that she said she'd been here, I think, one time before, last summer. So, and she lives here in the village on Sugar Pine, don't you, Linda? Okay. But anyway, if you would, the visitors, we would like you to at least just kind of raise your hand for two reasons. We have gifts. We have little presents for our visitors. And I found out this morning that even if you're a returning, not visitor, but a returning person from last year, you know, the summer person coming in, that if you want to raise your hand, you can get a gift too. So I'm going to raise mine. Anything for a first, for a free gift. But we do welcome you, and that's what makes us very happy here at this church, is the visitors that we have and the new faces that we see almost every Sunday. That really makes, and I see a young lady right now that lives right down the road from me, and I'm glad she's here, right down 130. But welcome. On your announcements, notice several things. Of course, all the birthdays on the back there. I don't know why they don't put their ages, but anyway, the birthdays are there. You know, I'm not ashamed that I'm 69, going on 85. Also notice the financial report, and you can read it, so I won't direct it, and just pray that someday that my real estate business will have a financial report like this. It is fantastic. And we want to all praise God for that, because that's who has brought this about. So that's pretty much all your announcements. I'm going to start these clipboards over here. Like I said, this is for the appreciation lunch from Judy Shema, and this is a surprise, so don't tell her, okay? So let's, oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was going to be a surprise, but anyway, I'm going to start these down here.
We need your attendance, though. You don't have to bring anything.
The reason they want you to sign up is they've got brisket and ribs planned. So if you, even if you don't like me, come eat, okay? Put your name on that piece of paper.
Yeah. Now you know why we thought about making it a surprise. I think that's all the announcements and everything. So if you would now, what do we have? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't forget to sign the booklet, sign in the little maroon folders and pass them over across the other way. And then the little blue slips are there for your praises and prayer requests. Okay. I know the prayer requests are so important so that we can take everyone in prayer, but you know, I think the praises sometimes we forget that it doesn't hurt to praise God every once in a while for something, no matter how big or how small it is. So that also. So let's go to the Lord with a smile on our face.
Please stand as we sing together, "Oh, How I Love Jesus," page 170.
Sinner.
remain standing for the opening words. I'll be reading from the light print and you the bold. We gather in the name of the risen Lord.
Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
We gather as sisters and brothers of the resurrected one.
Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
We gather to share our faith and to worship God.
Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
We gather to proclaim the good news of Easter.
Christ is risen. Hallelujah.
God of the resurrection, we gather this morning as a community of believers.
We come in joy to greet one another. And to tell again and again the amazing news. Christ is risen.
Love is victorious over death. You have given us new life in the name of your Son.
May our singing, praying, listening, and proclaiming be a testimony to the power of your love. To make us a new generation as a community of faith. We pray in the name of the risen Christ.
Amen.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing books to 2175. Together we serve.
Something. Sometimes when you're working hard at trying to sing the melody, you kind of don't get the words to really attach. So let's look at that hymn together again, only we're going to read it together. So together, reading verse 1, together we serve, united by love, inviting God's world to the glorious feast. We work and we pray through sorrow and joy, extending your love to the last and the least. We seek to become a beacon of hope, a lamp for the heart and a light for the feet. We learn year by year to let love shine through until we see Christ in each person we meet. We welcome the scarred, the wealthy, the poor, the busy, the lonely, and all who need care. We offer a home to those who will come, our hands quick to help, our hearts ready to dare. Together by grace, we witness and work, remembering Jesus in whom we grow strong. Together we serve in spirit and truth, remembering love is the strength of our song. And such a good song to sing right before we share with each other the prayer needs that have been shared this morning. Bob and Connie Howell ask our prayer. prayers for Charlie Blackwelder, who will have surgery in Las Cruces this week. So for Charlie, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Chuck asks us to pray for Betty Thomas' health concerns. Betty is in the hospital in Alamo. For Betty, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Leorla and Lance have a praise. If you'll remember, I don't know if it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, we were to pray for Dalton because he had a chemical engineering test. Well, they say there was a miracle. He got a B. So thank you and praise God for all who were praying for Dalton. Dalton is pretty thrilled about that one. Susan, one of the things I appreciate about Susan Salidas is she's so good to bring to our memory issues in the world far beyond our walls. And today, Susan asks us to please be in prayer for the people on the Big Island of Hawaii as they are losing their homes, as that ginormous volcano is erupting. And I just can't imagine anything more terrifying than that. So for the people in Hawaii, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And you know, when we pray, Lord, in your mercy, it's a way also of letting go and giving it to God. And God, you do your thing. It's far bigger than any of us know how to pray. And also, all of us join together in just begging God's mercy on us as we pray for rain. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And we have some pretty big issues before us as a church, as people that we love are dealing with cancer, and Judy and Jim Jackson, who's too weak to be here today, and Tommy back there in the back, for cancer, for all those suffering for cancer. Lord, we just want to just fight it, and we care for these who are in fearing what is coming and suffering its hold on people. And some of us have cancer in our own lives. So for those who are dealing with cancer, family and friends and the individual themselves, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And now we go to God in prayer. Holy God, on this day of communing with you in a special way, thank you that you invite everyone to your table. No one is eliminated. And God, thank you that in coming to your table, we also come with all of our own concerns. And thank you that you're a God who cares about cancer. You're a God who cares about volcanoes. You're a God who cares about drought. You're a God who cares about Korea. You're a God who cares about all these crazy treaties that are being negotiated. Lord, we just pray your mercy, your presence, and that we can see you working and these things that seem terrifying to each one of us. God, we also pray for a church in transition. Our church, as we look forward to a new pastor coming and go through the sorrow of the old pastor leaving. And God, also we pray for our community. We pray for our state. We pray for our neighbors. Lord, we just have so much to be loving others about. And God, help us to have eyes to see those who need your love through us. Help us, help us, help us with that. Because I know this is a loving church, and I know our community as one who is hunger to go deeper in you. And now, God, we're just going to rest the concerns of our heart on these words as together we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now will you continue in prayerful hearts as Skip leads you in the prayer of confession.
Before we pray the prayer of confession, Notice how it starts. Jesus said, come to me. Since Christ works through us, our fellow Christians, so many times you'll have somebody that you can share with, and they say, come to me. And so for some reason this morning it really touched me. But so when a fellow Christian invites you to come and speak with them, or they come up and just say, hey, what can I pray for? What can I do? Yes. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are tired, who are worn out from carrying heavy burdens. Put down the heavy load that you're carrying, and you will find rest for your souls. God, we confess we don't always understand our own actions. We clearly know what is right, what you expect of us, but we don't always do it. We also clearly know what is wrong, thoughts and actions that hurt others and offend you. We do these things anyway. Jesus Christ, our Lord, set us free from the sin that controls us.
People of God, know this. Our God is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. When we stumble, he's there to catch us. When we are weighed down, he is there to lift us up. So be at peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
Thank you.
And go ahead and be turning in your hymnal to page 9. Few instructions. If you need gluten-free bread, I have it up here. Just let the person serving you the bread know, and we have gluten-free bread for you. And also, if you need to receive the grape juice in the little plastic cups, we have those. But today we'll be serving also by intinction, where you dip your bread in the cup and receive that way. So there'll be two stations on your left and right. Come down the center aisle and then go down the side aisles after you have received. You're welcome to stay at the altar rail and pray if you need to. Now listen to this invitation. It is Christ our Lord who invites to this table all who would truly repent and seek to live in love and harmony in God's way. Hear that word, all. Young and old, rich and poor, there's no barriers to this table. Because we believe in coming to this table, you encounter Jesus in a special way that's a mystery hard to describe. So today when you come and you reach your hand out to receive that bread and then dip it in the cup, know that on some level that you might not even be able to describe, you're connecting with Jesus in an ever more intimate way than possibly on a Tuesday or a Thursday. So expect to encounter Jesus when you come today. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity and made covenant to be our sovereign God and spoke with us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, ate with sinners, and by the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. And on that night in which he gave himself for us, he took bread and gave thanks to you. And he broke that bread and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you." And when you hear that word "you," put your name there. Broken for you. When the supper was over, he took the cup I like to visualize him holding that cup up and looking around the room at everyone. From a big picture, pouring into that cup, little bits splashed out on the table, and there was enough for everyone. Enough for everyone. And with eyes full of love, he looked around that table and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
I gotta breathe. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one in Christ, one in each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now I'd like to invite those who are going to help serve today to come, and I'll serve them, and then I'll invite all of you to come. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. And this is the cup of salvation poured out for you. This means that Jesus loves you very much. This is the cup of salvation poured out for you. And it means Jesus loves you very much. This is the cup of salvation poured out for you. And it means Jesus loves you very much. This is the cup of salvation poured out for you. Let us pray. You fed us all, Lord, and we're grateful. May the energy that we receive from having eaten this meal with you make a difference in somebody's life. And when we leave today, may our eyes see everyone that we meet a little differently. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
First John chapter 3, beginning with verse 16. That's the John in the way back in the back in the back of the Bible. First John 3, beginning with verse 16. We know love by this. So right now we're learning that the writer is saying, this is how you recognize love. All right? So we know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this, we will know that we are from the truth. That's pretty direct. Sometimes when I read the scripture lesson for the day, I go, well, what else can I say? That's pretty straightforward. Here's how we know love. And by the way, how does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods? All of us have it in abundance, I think, pretty much. Yet refuses to help a brother or sister in need. And now listen to the first few words of Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Well, we believe that God is always with us. And according to Psalm 23, we believe that he leads us in right paths. Given the general nature of God being a creator and an actor upon this created life that God created, I suspect that God is busy leading and dabbling in our lives always and in right paths. Our scripture for today makes me ask, if the everydayness of my life has God's presence in it, and if God is leading me in right paths, what am I doing to honor God? Now we're going to look at Acts chapter 4. It's one of those stories in the early church. And I'm asking, what was Peter doing? Well, it wasn't real smart what Peter was doing, for one thing. He healed the lame man. You remember that little song from Vacation Bible School? Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And that's the story that this is referring to. Peter and James and John healed this guy right in front of the temple authorities. And then the big shots come up to him and ask. The priests and the captain of the temple of the guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed." I just can't even imagine those guys. You know, here's somebody just got healed, having been lame his whole life. And they come down on Peter, James, and John about it. He says, Peter says, If we're questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man came to be healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Pretty brave, wasn't he? I would say that Peter was honoring God by how he lived out the dailiness of his life. He was honoring God by moving beyond, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus died, arose, and ascended. I believe. Peter moved beyond the belief into being a transformed Christian who loves, not in word and speech, but in truth and action. Now let's read 1 John 3:17 again. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, the writer said, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. There it is. My personal soapbox. One of the reasons that I use the lectionary usually is because it's really easy for me to just climb up on my soapbox and keep shouting from that one all the time. And there's other things in that book to preach about than this. But you're going to hear it today. We are to love, not in word and speech, but in truth and action. Christianity is an action verb. It's not a swirl of thoughts and goosebumpy ideas whirling around in our head. It's not about some charismatic preacher saying some kind of words that sound really good. It is about action. It's about taking those words inside, swallowing them, digesting them, letting them become part of your cells, and getting to work. Christianity is about sweat. To say I believe is not enough. Christianity moves. The dictionary said that a verb conveys action. Action. While living in South Louisiana, I would get pretty aggravated by all the obvious and visible corruption in governments. One of my friends ran an outreach to at-risk teenagers in the French Quarter, on the edge of the French Quarter that got into actually the first place in the United States that African-American persons could own property. Had a wonderful outreach to these kids. And he needed to do some remodeling and expanding of facilities and went to the city to get a permit. He couldn't get a permit unless he greased the palm of that Yahoo that sat in the window at the city. I said, Greg, did you do it? Because, you know, I was all high and mighty and righteous. He says, I had to or I'd never get my work done. I was also aggravated by complacent attitudes toward poverty by virtually everyone, and yet this geographical area in the United States was defined by Christianity. The counties were called parishes. That's a church word. The counties were called parishes, and virtually everyone sent their kids to parochial schools. Church schools. It seemed to me that all being a Christian meant was to show up for a weekly obligation service, and you could go on till next week doing whatever you felt like. My soapbox is Christianity is about transformed human lives. Lives that look different, that speak different, that act different than the people around us. In fact, so different that folks sit up and take notice. Huh. She must really believe and really mean that she's a Christian. Hearing the scripture, little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action, screamed loudly at me that there was something wrong with what I was observing in South Louisiana. Listen to what transformed lives resulted in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 44, where the fellowship of believers is described. That means a group of people like us. All the Lord's followers often met together, and they shared everything they had. They would sell their property and possessions and give the money to whoever needed it. Day after day, they met together in the temple. They broke bread together in different homes and shared their food happily and freely while praising God. Everyone liked them, the scripture says. They enjoyed the favor of all the people. And each day, mind you, every day, the Lord added to their group others who were being saved. Ever wondered why that early church grew like gangbusters? Descriptions from the time talk about droves of people coming to the church daily. I believe it was because of what we read about in this passage. Lives that were transformed from the inside out. Those early followers of Christ had something others saw and wanted. Lives had been transformed. People generously cared for their neighbors. The unity in the fellowship was remarkable. The power of God was released, and it produced awe and wonder, and people flocked to that group called Christians. Opportunities to be in ministry are always at hand. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John could have just walked right on into the temple like they always did, like they probably daily did. They could have walked right on past that lame man begging at the temple door. After all, there were hundreds of people begging at the temple. You know, sitting around on the temple steps was the early welfare system. It was. I mean, they sat around there hoping that people would help them. They also sat on mats outside the gates of the city so that as people came in and out of the city, people would beg for whatever their needs were. No big deal. It's part of life. Ho hum. Peter, James, and John could have just sauntered right on in that temple. These busy church leaders could have tossed a few coins into the tin cup and gone on about their business. Actually, no. They could not have gone on by indifferently tossing some coins to the side. They were tuned in to the right now presence of God who was leading them in right paths, and that made a difference in how they heard what was around them and how they saw what was on those steps. Peter and John saw when they were going about the minutiae of their daily life. Instead of hurriedly passing by, they stopped and looked into the eyes of that person who had his or her arm outstretched. No passing glance, no eyes averted, in order to avoid engagement with the one who is asking something of us. No plastic smile. Instead, wide open ears, they heard the call, and then their eyes saw the suffering human being while they looked intently at the needy one. For us, we can substitute pushing our cart up and down the grocery store aisle and that mundane thing that we always do. Have you ever just looked in the faces of those people you're passing by? Have you seen a suffering person? Someone you knew that was having a really hard time. Yeah, it's good to toss out a prayer for them, but what if you stopped and said, "You look like you're having a hard time"? How about speaking to that guy who changes our oil? Hi, Joe. What's going on in your life? How about substitute sitting in the doctor's office reading another one of those trashy magazines? I've done it. And engage the person next to you in conversation. How about walking the halls at school or into the lounge at break time and sitting down next to someone and say, I heard about XYZ. Tell me how you're feeling. How about looking into the eyes of that person checking you out at Walmart and reading their name tag and using their name and talking to them? We are being led in right paths. Right paths everywhere we go. And ministry is all around us if we believe what's in the book. Each Sunday we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven, God. We're praying about now. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth like it is in heaven. I think that the kingdom comes when we are walking in those right paths with God. It makes us so transformed that people around us sit up and take notice and will hunger for what it is that we have. And the kingdom comes because we take the time to be the hands and feet and heart of Jesus to bring a little bit of kingdom come into that person's life right now, today. In the last stories of Jesus' appearance following his resurrection, we find in John, the Gospel of John, the first John, not first John, but the first John. You get it? Okay. In John chapter 21, an example of transformation for Peter, Jesus asks Peter three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? How redemptive. Three times Peter had denied Jesus. And Jesus is so awesome. He gave Peter the chance to redeem each one of those times he was so brokenhearted and ashamed over. I think that's a pretty cool God who loves us that much. Says tons about God, about God's mercy, about God's forgiveness. God gives Peter a chance to redeem those awful, awful, painful moments in his life. Listen, this is wonderful. Not only is Peter a central character in the whole Jesus story in the New Testament, the laws and all, remember who else is the central character? Paul. Ew. He was an awful human being. Judgmental, legalistic, fire-breathing, even took out and began killing Christians. Most of our Christian scriptures are written by this man, who was redeemed by Jesus. These stories are also about us. They're about you and me, flaws and all. About the transforming possibilities of faith in a loving God. In the Phillips translation, which is a really fun translation that's sort of like more in the vernacular, more how you and I really talk, in Romans chapter 7, listen to Paul writing, my own behavior baffles me. I find myself not doing what I really want to do and doing what I loathe. Yet surely if I do things that I really don't want to do, it cannot be said that I'm doing them at all. It must be sin that's made its home in my nature. I often find that I have the will to do good, but not the power. Anybody want to say amen? Yeah, me too. That is, I don't accomplish the good, Paul writes, that I set out to do, and the evil I really don't want to do, I find myself doing. He goes on to say, my conscious mind wholeheartedly endorses the law, yet I observe an entirely different principle at work in my nature. This is in continual conflict with my conscious attitude and makes me an unwilling prisoner to the law of sin and death. In my mind, I'm God's willing servant, but in my nature, I am bound fast to the law of sin and death. It's an agonizing situation. And who on earth can set me free from the clutches of my own nature? I thank God. There's one way out through Jesus Christ. We're just like Paul. We know to do better, and we don't. Like Paul, who warred with his inner nature, we can all hear the really, really good news when we are vexed with ourselves for not doing what we ought. Paul says, who on earth can set me free from the clutches of my own nature? It's Jesus, Paul said. Perhaps this is the most compelling, attractive thing of all. The gentle, seeking God comes and loves and forgives us in spite of ourselves. We can't do it on our own. We need who God is and that God generously gives to us. Take this good word. Be happy, live well and freely in the goodness of the God who loves and forgives and transforms. In the name of Jesus, amen. And let us sing. His name is wonderful, and sing it with all of our heart in the spirit of the good news of those words. Across the center aisle, and together we will give each other the benediction. Go forth knowing what, go ahead, it's all of us together. Go forth knowing what God requires. Go into the world seeking opportunities to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. All right, now we're going to sing the closing chorus, and when that we finish the closing chorus, and we'll call the church conference together very quickly, okay? All right, number 177.
Thank you.
right, if you'd be seated. First thing that's going down the aisle is a clipboard, and we need for you to sign in your presence. That just has to be...